this episode, we're going to talk about the latest massacre committed by the military junta, the heartbreaking stories of the victims who lost their loved ones, the response from the military, the National Unity Government, and the international community. Please stay tuned. On 11 April 2023, right before the start of Myanmar New Year, the military junta has committed one of the most heinous acts in Myanmar modern history by opening the airstrike to a small village, not once, but twice on the same day. This incident is clearly the massacre of innocent civilians by the Myanmar military junta. It took place in a small village named Basiji, which is a part of Kambalu Township, located in Zagang region. At around 7:30 a.m. on that day, during the gathering for the opening of People Administration Office, the military junta dropped two 500-pound bombs with a Russian-made YAK-130. After that, in the afternoon of the same day, the Mi-35 helicopter flew over the village, circling round and round over the village sky. And the soldier of the military junta fired the village and its surrounding with machine gun up from the sky. This airstrike by the military junta in Myanmar has caused concern and outrage from the people of Myanmar and the international community. At least 171 people were killed in this airstrike by the military junta, and it is the deadliest attack since the 2021 military coup. Among the innocent civilians who were killed by this airstrike, there are 6 children under the age of 5, 14 children between the age of 5 and 14, 5 children between the age of 14 and 18, and 10 children whose age cannot be determined. The junta claimed that the attack was not aimed at hurting civilians, but rather targeting an anti-junta office opening ceremony where the resistance force are gathering. However, the National Unity Government, NUG, has released a statement claiming that the military junta is no longer distinguishing between civilians and armed groups in their attacks. And this incident is another example of the junta committing a war crime. The NUG is calling for international action against the junta, including sanctions and a blockade on aviation fuels to prevent future attacks against civilians. Let's talk about some background about the village. The village is located in Kambalu Township, Zagang region. Please also note that Zagang region is one of the regions where the democracy resistant forces got a very strong hold against the military dictatorship. After the 2021 military coup d'etat, the village did not accept the coup. It is a village where the people manage their own community affairs through a public administration model in connection with the National Unity Government. Based on the information that I was able to gather, there are 233 residential houses in the village. And according to 2019 census data, the population is also 2019. However, in 2014 census, it is said that the population was 3,824. I could not find any data to back up the claims on 2019 census. If that was true, almost half of the population in the village were either migrated or moved to somewhere for better opportunities. Maybe that's why there's a drastic drop in the population. So that's the only logical reason that I can think of. Looking at the Google map, you'll see that the village is, I would not say isolated, but quite small. And if we look at the surroundings of the region, it is relatively dry. It is said that the people in the village mainly engage in agriculture. There is very limited information available about the village, So I'll just add what I know according to my experience. And most of the people in Zagang region will grow rice and pulses for their livelihood, and of course, seasonal vegetable for their own consumption. And one thing, even though I haven't been to that specific location, I've been to around the region. I can definitely tell you the people in the region up there are very, very honest and very, very hospitable. And the way they speak Burmese is unlike any other part of the country. It's somehow very endearing to me. The closest example that I can give you is that let's just consider English as our official language in Myanmar. And I assume this would be how different people from different regions in Myanmar would be speaking. And I think this will be their respective accents. People in Yangon will be like the general American accent, where the people in Mandalay would be like in British accent. And the people in the Zagang region would probably be speaking in Southern American accent. Something about the way they speak Burmese is just very, very endearing to me. And it's just, yeah, so very nice. And another thing I can tell you about the people in this region, they are very, very close to each other. It is a tight-knit community. Everyone knows everyone. When there is an event at one household, like ordination of the children, wedding reception, or any other charity or donation event, at least one person from each household will come to the event location and help the host family prepare the event. For example, they will form different groups to help you prepare different things. Some people will help you do the shopping. Some people will help you do the cooking. And some people will be helping you to locate the guests and everything you can think of. And everything the host family members are probably preparing their makeup, wearing the nakah on their face, wearing their best outfit, being in their most beautiful state, and greet all the guests coming in from the community and also the neighboring villages. On the day of the said incidents, on 11 April 2023, the people from Baziji village and neighboring village are gathering at the place where the incident happened because there was an opening ceremony of the public administration office. People are gathering there to help prepare the cooking, locating the guests and everything. It is said that there are about 300 people at the location, including children. Who would have thought that such a joyous occasion will turn into a nightmare? It is said that now almost all the households in the village have funeral because the military airstrike that caused 171 dead, that include 40 children. This is a nightmare, not just for the villagers of Baziji, but also for the people of Myanmar. I can't imagine how everyone in the village might feel. The following story is about a woman who lost her mom and her child because of this reckless attack by the military junta. Let's call her Mala. Mala was there at the opening ceremony of the public administration office, helping the cooking, meal preparation, etc. Her 7-year-old daughter arrived to the public administration office with a group of her friends to have breakfast. So Mala prepared the meal for her daughter and her mom so they could have breakfast together at the same table. After that, Mala went back to her home because she has months-old baby to take care. While she was there at her home with her months-old baby, the military bombed the location of the administration office where her moms and her daughter were having their breakfast. She just lost both her mom and her daughter. On top of that, she can't even hold the funeral for both of them because the military jets are flying over the village sky. They can't even invite the monks to hold proper funeral. They have to connect the monks by the phone so they could at least have the so-called funeral preach and blessing from the monk. There's another story about a man who lost 7 family members, including his father, mother, and his 3-year-old daughter. Let's call him Koye. On the morning of the sad incident, Koye woke up early, prepared to go to the opening ceremony. He helped his daughter get ready, get dressed in white top and black pants. He even put the niqab on her face. I can only imagine how much he loves his daughter. To him, she will be the most precious jewel. Imagine how heartbroken he would be when he learned that both his mom and his beloved daughter were unalive on the way to dining pavilion at the public administration office. The last word his daughter said to him were, "Father, I'm going to have breakfast." This is quote and quote the exact word that Koye said in his broken voice because he was almost crying while he's saying these words. Quote, "The bomb exploded when my mother took my daughter to the dining pavilion. I don't know if my daughter got the chance to eat a plate of meal, a piece of the dishes, or even a cup of water." He said he was able to find only half of the body of his father, but he couldn't find the bodies of his mother and his beloved daughter. He said he was looking for the missing body of his mother and his daughter right after the bomb attack, and before the military took the second round of shooting in the afternoon up on that day. But he had no luck in finding those bodies. The following days after 11 April 2023, in the sky of Bazigi village, scout planes were flying over the sky of the village. On top of that, about 6.4 kilometers, approximately 4 miles away from Bazigi village, 200 members of the military council forces are waiting for the order to take over the village. People dare not to stay in their home, which is supposed to be their safe refuge. It is no longer safe to stay at home, with the military watching closely over the village. They have to flee in the nearby wooded area to seek for safe refuge. On 19 April 2023, we've learned that the military junta forces raided the Bazigi village, resulting the people from Bazigi village and the surrounding village to flee their home. It is estimated that around 10,000 people flee their place. Right now, it is very fair to say that Bazigi village is only left with the shell because the residents of the village flee to seek for a safe place to stay in other region. Not just the people from the Bazigi village. The villager from the surrounding village also flee their home. And when we look at the military response, the military junta claimed that the aerial attack was not aimed at hurting civilian, and claimed falsely that the heavy explosion were due to the ignition of arms and ammunition shown in the opening ceremony of the building. The junta confirmed late on the evening news of 11 April 2023 that the strike had taken place, but did not say how many were killed, spokesman Zomintor. "We attacked that place," he said. "Some of the dead," he added, "were anti-coup fighter in uniform, though there could be some people with civilian clothes." The spokesperson went on to blame the mines planted by the People's Defense Force for some of the deaths. The military council also broadcast the video file, which include the alleged villagers saying there were landmines around the administration office. Please note this spot about the landmine, the ignition of arm and ammunition part that the military spokesperson Zamintron just said. I'll get back to this in the later part of this episode. If we look at the response from the NUG, the National Unity Government released a statement claiming that the military junta no longer distinguished between civilians and armed groups in their attack, and the incident was another piece of evidence that the junta army has repeated a war crime. According to the list published by the NUG, only 16 of the people that were unalive were part of the public administration and public security forces. The rest of the people who were unalive were civilian. And it is also said that the public administration and the public security forces in that region were not even properly armed. As the NUG acting president, Duwa Lashila, has declared, the Baziji attack is a war crime, adding to the many other war crimes committed by the junta over the last 2 years. The NUG is calling for international action against the junta, including sanctions and a blockade on aviation fuel, all with the aim to dissuade the Myanmar military from continuing to carry out attack against civilians and the terrible loss of life, as seen in the Baziji massacre. The Prime Minister of Myanmar National Unity Government, Man Win Kaintan, tweeted that, "I implore the UN, how many more massacres must occur before you take action? How much longer will our people suffer under this?" And let's look at the response from the international community. Human Rights Watch Asia Division Deputy Director Phil Robertson has stated that the attack is likely to have a chilling effect on Myanmar society, causing community to be hesitant in holding mass gathering in the future. The EU, the France, and the UK, they have all expressed their concern over the issue. On top of that, ASEAN and Taiwan also issued statement condemning the airstrike against the civilians. Rights groups have called for the international community to further restrict Myanmar's access to aviation fuel in the wake of the attack. But Bangkok-based security analyst Anthony Davis told that the demand was divorced from reality. Russia is a firm ally to the junta and one of the world's largest oil exporters. Do we seriously believe Moscow will sit and watch the Myanmar Air Force being slowly grounded for a lack of aviation fuel? He said to the AFP. Both China and Russia refused to accept the draft resolution condemning the airstrike. There is conflicting information about the situation in this airstrike. We need to get clear situation first. Dmitry Polyansky, Russia ambassador to the United Nations, was quoted saying. A senior Chinese diplomat to the UN said that the United Nations Security Council should encourage the various sides of Myanmar to resolve differences through the dialogue for national reconciliation and should avoid interfering in internal affairs. When I see what the Russian ambassador to the UN and China's diplomat to the UN have to say about the issue, I'm not gonna lie, I was furious. But on the other hand, it is only logical for them to say such thing because of their economic interests. Myanmar is one of the very few countries that the Russian government was able to have economic relationship, while the China already have billions of dollars worth of investment project in the country prior and post-coup. Let me provide the information which is not biased and conflicted. Remember the point earlier where I talked about the explosions of the landmine, the arms, and the ammunition? Here is what one of the victims have to say about it. Remember Kuye, the one who lost seven of his family members, including his 3-year-old daughter? This is what he has to say. When I got outside and looked back, the location is already turning to ashes, and I was the only one left. The mine didn't explode at that time. If the office location would explode because of those mines due to the bomb, I would have been dead. I was there round and round for about 5 times, looking relentlessly for my daughter's body. In addition to that, one of the social rescue team member who was there at the village site also stated that the video footage that the military junta aired was the kiss of the villager being misunderstood and confused with the attack by the military junta. And if we think about the situation carefully, why would somebody plant a landmine? where the child could be freely running around, playing. Why would they do that? Why would they do that to their own village? I don't understand. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, right? And let me add one thing, though. In what wall will you display or put landmine where you are having a gathering or donation ceremony where people are coming in to have breakfast and, gather? Why would you have landmine planted near that place where the kid could be running around, playing and all that? It is just like the absurd claim that the military hunter has propagated. I don't think that anybody would do that to their own people except for the military hunter. I would like to quote to one of the lines that I said in my intro episode. Human rights violations are cancer to humanity and all the good things that the humanity stands for. All it takes for this evil to spread was to turn a blind eye here, a blind eye there, and before anyone knows it, it has taken over the whole country. Please, don't turn a blind eye on this military junta wrongdoing and their human rights violations and their massacre of their own civilians. I just want people to be aware of this situation. If you ever came across someone from Myanmar, or if you ever have to walk with the people from Myanmar, I just want to make sure that you do your due diligence so they are not linked to the military in any way. I'm sure everybody wants to do the right thing and the good things. And without knowingly, I don't want you to be fertilizing or soiling the evil, which is this military hunter, through your connections or your business or any form of your work. I just want you to be aware of this. It is no denying that Myanmar democracy revolution is still a long way to go, and we will not give up. We will continue to fight for our democracy. And we need your awareness more than ever. Thank you very much for listening.